Andy, my cell phone that is on, and so let me just put off my cell phone and let me be a good example for all others. Allow me to first welcome also the delegation from the Department of Science and Technology, as led by the DG, Dr. Mjo, on their presentation of the first quarter expenditure and performance. Unfortunately, there are lots of engagements today. We have got to try to stick to our dedicated time. After this session, there is another session coming in which we had to slot in recognition of a play by speaker. There are children that are supposed to come here and read some of their literature to us. They call it Readathon, from Marathon to Readathon. Now, and myself, I have a meeting of Chairperson's Forum at 12:30, which I must leave you to attend. So, therefore, we will try and really stick to time. So, you must never be upset if I rule you out if you are wasting time. So I'm not going to allow a lot of many questions from members this time around. But without wasting any of more time, let me allow the, let me just allow the introduction as usual, and then we allow the DG to lead the dedication, the presentation, sorry. I'll start from my desk here. I'm Ngqabangqa, about the Chair of Science and Technology from the ANC. I've got Shanaz Isaacs next door, who is my committee secretary, or our committee secretary. Then I've got the researcher here, Dr. Elia Madigane, who is recently joined the portfolio committee as our researcher. And I've got an apology from Dr. Rene Osborne Mullins. She's off sick. That is how far my office is represented. And I will therefore ask the members to introduce themselves quickly, and then allow the delegation also to introduce themselves quickly. We usually want to know from the delegation, not only your name, we want to know what you are doing in the department so that we know what to who to refer to in case we have got some problems. Thank you very much.
Good morning, my name is Janita Kloppers-Lorenz, and I'm a member of the committee.
And Chair, honourable members and guests, good morning. I am Kosi Mwalanongonyana, the member of the committee and employee of the African National Congress from the Oatambo region of the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, everyone. I'm Ellen Lyne Hendricks. I'm also a member of this portfolio committee.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sharma Nautu. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer for the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I am Nombuyiselo Mokoena. I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for Corporate Services at the PST.
Good morning. I'm Ditiasi Morabe, the Acting CFO for Science and Technology.
The what? Sorry?
Acting CFO.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'm Nelson Pontoli from the Office of Monitoring and Evaluation at the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Members. I'm Michinal Ratombo from Monitoring and Evaluation, DST.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, good morning, everybody. I'm Thomas Ofterheider. I'm Deputy Director General for Program 4, Human Capital and Knowledge Systems. I'm the youngest looking one on the slides you'll see today.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Members. My name is Julian Mofuso. I'm the Chief Operations Officer in the Department.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Dr. Mjoha from the Department of Science and Technology, Director General.
I'm sorry, with my foot in the mouth. I was caught unaware. But I think we can allow UTG to continue. Oh, sorry, the new member just came in.
Morning, Chair and department colleagues, my apologies for being late. I'm just from another meeting. I'm Linda Rotunjwa. I'm the whip of the Committee of Science and Technology. I'm from the Eastern Cape, member of the ANC. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We are ready to give the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Members, our performance and our financial report for the first quarter. However, I wanted to make three short remarks. The first one is that we continue to learn on how to structure our indicators that we use to report our work. It's a learning curve which I think we are enjoying, but at the same time a bit tricky. We're trying to strive in ensuring that we have the right indicators, but at the same time we don't under-report or too easy indicators. The second point is that we are of the opinion that most of the targets that we had set ourselves are likely to be met, and we will share those with you. However, there are others which we assume we may not meet. However, we are doing our level best to make sure that we stick to the Auditor General's expectation that we meet approximately 80% of our targets. And then the last point is, in the presentation, we've also tried to highlight what are the challenges in not meeting some of the targets that we may not meet. I will quickly go through the overview of the DST, which I assume by now most members are familiar with, and then we will go straight into the achievements of the first quarter, and then we will delve down with achievements per program of the DST, and then the summary then of the outcomes progress, which is more or less akin to my opening remarks, and then we'll share quickly the financial performance and conclude. So the mandate of the department, as I say, is also contained in these three bullet points, where we derive our mandate from the white paper, 1996 paper, which introduced the concept of a national system of innovation. We continue to try and make sure that all parts of this system that we hope to achieve work together. And just to remind ourselves that an NSI could be understood as a set of institutions, organizations, and policies that interact constructively in the pursuit of a common set of social and economic goals and objectives. So our work is influenced by two main strategic documents, the National Research and Development Strategy of 2002 and the 10-year Innovation Plan of 2008. And the 10-year Innovation Plan is really a document that tries to articulate our contribution to transforming the South African economy from being a completely resource-based dependent economy into a knowledge-based economy. In that economy, we hope that the production and dissemination of knowledge will lead to economic and social benefits and reach all fields of our endeavor. In this regard, the measure of success will be the level to which science, technology, and innovation play in driving play a driving role in enhancing productivity, economic growth, and social economic development. So our vision is to create a prosperous society that derives enduring and equitable benefits from science and technology, and we do that by developing, coordinating, and managing the NSI that I've described that will bring about a variety of objectives, human capital, sustainable economic growth, and improved quality of life. So there are five objectives of the Department of Science and Technology. We would like to enhance our ability to generate knowledge. We would like to develop a capacity to translate ideas from research into useful products and services for the society and the economy. We need to make sure that we have adequate people to meet the needs of the society for science, technology, and innovation. We would like to continue to have world-class science, technology, and innovation infrastructure. And then we cannot do this alone. This knowledge generation and exploitation is an international enterprise, so we have to partner cleverly with the rest of the world. We also do participate and support a number of outcomes of this current administration. We do support the work of Outcome 2, where we would like to achieve long and healthy life for all South Africans, and we will share with you how we are contributing and our targets in that regard are performing. Decent employment through inclusive economic growth contributes to a skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path. Outcome 7, vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities and food security for all. And then on Outcome 10, the environmental assets and natural resources that are well protected and continually enhanced. So we have these five programs of the Department of Science and Technology: research, development, and innovation, corporate services, including governance, international cooperation and resources, and then human capital and knowledge systems, as well as socio-economic partnerships. This year we've decided to put the faces around some of these programs, some of whom are very familiar. So we've got two younger faces of the department for program one, that is responsible for administration in the department, which is looking at conducting the overall management and administration of the department, Mr. Mavuso on my right, and Mem Gwena on my extreme right. Program two, research, development, and innovation, it aims to facilitate knowledge generation and exploitation through research and development in key priority areas of space science, bioeconomy, and energy. Program three, this program aims to strategically develop, promote, and manage international relationships, opportunities, and science and technology agreements that strengthen the NSI and enable the exchange of knowledge, capacity, and resources between South Africa and its regional and international partners. This is a picture of the minister with the EU commissioner when she visited, I think, South Africa last year for the ECDP work that we do. Program four, provide leadership in the creation of an innovative and competitive society with highly skilled human capital and competitive knowledge and research infrastructure. And then Mr. Patel, who's not here tonight, this morning, the program that he's leading enhances the growth and development priorities of government through targeted science and technology-based innovation interventions and the development of strategic partnerships with other government departments, industry, research institutions, and community. So what are the achievements, therefore, for the first quarter? This paragraph is presenting the analysis of the targets that I think we have set out for the year. A total of 62 indicators will be reported during this year of 2013 and 14. And seven of these targets are E&E targets, and six of these we believe are on course. And then you'll also see that in quarter one, five of the indicators were either biannual, in other words, we report on them twice a year, and the others are annual targets. And hence, for those that are annual targets, there is nothing that we're going to report at this point in time. And this paragraph does suggest that on the analysis that we've done, we are of the opinion that 56% of the targets of the 62 will be on course, so we continue to monitor them, but perhaps not as tightly as the 29% that are at moderate risk, and we've shown those with a yellow. And then we have 2% of the targets that we think we will not achieve. We have 5% of the targets that have already been achieved, and we have nothing to report on 8% of these targets. So these would either be those that are supposed to be reported twice a year, and maybe we haven't sufficiently reached milestones to report on, or they will be reported on biannually. But just concentrating on the ones that we have achieved and the ones on moderate risk on course, if we add all of those and we manage the ones that are moderate risk, we think we'll be fairly close to the 80% that we are expected to achieve by the Auditor General. So the overall performance then of some of the selected E&E DST indicators suggest that in a number of them we are on course. I don't know if the Chair wants me to go through these in detail, but on the number of postgraduate students that are awarded bursaries, we think we are on course. Researchers that are awarded research grants through NRF managed programs, we think we are on course. And then the number of foreign science, technology and innovation funds secured from a variety of sources, we think we should be okay with that. On the small medium enterprises that are provided with technology support, mainly through the technology stations at TIA, we think we will be on core target on that. On the on the companies that are supposed to receive the technology assistance package, again, we think we are on course. And then on the knowledge and innovative products added to the IP portfolio, we also think we will be on course on those. So let's then go through each of the programs, starting with the program one administration. We did submit all the quarter four reports and annual reports to Treasury and AG on time. In terms of communication, we've held four public participation programs, and these include the Indigenous Knowledge Systems Conference, the launch of the Recordal System, I think this was at the Northwest Province, and the Nelson Mandela Science Center, and then the Public Service Week at RTP as well. We also have tried to reduce the vacancy rate of the department for this quarter at about 8%. We also, I think it's the same thing, maybe packaged differently here, so I will not go through this in detail. On the IT framework, IT governance framework, it's an important area that is being monitored by National Treasury. We have already started to look at IT risk management and control in the department, and this is managed by our Enterprise Risk Management Unit. On the communication, where we were hoping to have one approved communication marketing or media plan developed, we already have achieved that target. And as I've said, that instead of three public participation programs that we had set out by June, we already have achieved that by having four of those that I shared a while ago. On program two, the tender for the development of the Meerkat dish, and in fact all the dishes, 64 dishes, has been published. Public consultations on the development of regulations on the Astronomy Geographic Area Act has been has commenced, and then we have a series of notices on the Government Gazette around the development of these regulations. And then, despite some financial challenges, we have continued to support research and development initiatives. And here we give two examples. One is on the follow-on African Consortium on Technosphere Studies, clinical trial, and then the business plans that have been supported for the Hydrogen South Africa Centers of Competence that are based at UCT, UWC, as well as CSR. And the minister has already also approved the bioeconomy strategy. This strategy was scheduled to be submitted to Cabinet for approval in August. There have been a couple of delays because when we presented this to the cluster asked us to make some changes, but the minister has approved, nevertheless, the bioeconomy strategy. We have a number of Yes, because we haven't actually cluster economic sectors where we wanted to present the strategy of DGs have made some recommendations, so it has to come back to that cluster before it goes to Cabinet. So we hope that perhaps in the month of September we should be able to table it to Cabinet. And then we have a number of initiatives that in the area of space science, energy and biosciences we provide financial support to. And then we just give you here highlights of solutions that were supported in this area, including the work that the space agency provides to the South African Air Force. And they provide a variety of useful information that the Defence Force needs, and I've given two examples here. And then we also have provided some service, technology service, to the Institute for Maritime Technology and the Sharks Board. And then Spot 5 data has been distributed and provided to a number of government departments and entities. And then also time series applications have been requested for a number of applications in the area of tracking carbon, geohazard atlas have been provided therefore to the stakeholders who needed this. And then the phase one of the calibration and validation site at Padderfontein was established, and then we hope to have pilot measurement campaigns that are planned for winter season. Maybe for the members who are not familiar with this, this is a site that was chosen in this area called Padderfontein, and what happens is that when people want to take satellite pictures, they identify a site where they would take a picture which would give them an image of, if you like, a known data, and then they use that as a reference data whenever they have to validate the pictures that they take. So we'll be using this for our own satellite development program, but a number of countries may also request South Africa to use the site for their own calibration and validation of the satellite imagery pictures. We also have space weather bulletins for stakeholders and the public distributed. Fire investigation services has been provided to a number of clients. And then the Fundisa disk, which is a disk containing a number of data sets applicable to students, has been provided to a number of academic institutions. This is an attempt by the Space Agency to create awareness and to provide a service to students who would like to play around with these data sets as part of their training in moving into the space area. And then some remote sensing short courses to students and end users have also been provided by the Space Agency. So this is again a table format of the information that I've just shared or some aspect of it. We've already talked about the Meerkat tender dish. We've been informed by the project office that they hope to have the first dish of the Meerkat early next year, and then they will be rolling out a couple of dishes. We've already given you examples of these technology solutions that were supported and the progress towards the finalization of the bioeconomy strategy. We did talk about the gazetted notices for public consultations for the rollout of the AGA Act or the implementation thereof. And then there's no target for the collaborative partnership with the private sector. But we've already initiated and signed a memorandum of understanding on the work that we're doing on fuel cells at the University of the Western Cape, as well as some work that has been between the center of competence that is set up at CSIR and Northwest University on the provision of hydrogen delivery infrastructure. 10 OTT were supposed to be financially supported, and we've started to evaluate 11 proposals that we've received from some of these OTTs this year. We were hoping to have, even though we don't have a target, of a number of disclosures that are received by these OTTs, offices of technology transfer. These are offices that are sitting in the universities and public institutions to assist them in identifying ideas that could be commercialized, but first they have to disclose them. So we think we are on course on this one as well. On the international cooperation and resources, we've had a first stakeholder consultation workshop on the development of the research infrastructures roadmap for South Africa. As you know, the challenge here is that we need to know in our meeting the objective of having a world-class science, technology and innovation infrastructure, what are the infrastructure, research infrastructure needs in South Africa. So we're conducting a roadmap that will give us a sense of what infrastructure is needed over the next 15 to 20 years, and therefore how do we then raise funds for that over the period identified. In the idea of recognizing Africa as a key contributor to the global innovation agenda, we hosted a successful fifth global forum on innovation and technology entrepreneurship in East London with the InfoDev division of the World Bank. And for the first time, this forum was attended by over 800 students, the first time ever for it to have so many people. We have been trying to finalize high-end skills development program in agriculture in partnership with DAF and ARC and three previously disadvantaged universities in partnership with the French and Flemish universities. Within the SADC region, we've hosted the Science, Technology and Innovation Policy Training Workshop because we've always thought that it is important for the senior government officials to be also aware of STI policy. Hosted engineering needs and numbers working group. In other words, this is a study that is trying to look at the audit of engineering needs and numbers in several SADC countries. And then Women in Science, Engineering and Technology draft chapter has been finalized and roadmap has been finalized to be presented to the SADC ministerial meeting. In some projects that are being driven under the leadership of the International Cooperation and Resources, there's been a revival of the potato tissue culture project in Lesotho and the initiation of phase two of the project. This is a US-funded project where US, South Africa and Lesotho are developing this project in support of the Lesotho government. Kenya, we supported their Science, Technology and Innovation Week through SASTA. With Norway, we've signed the MOU, have launched a call for selected research projects in the areas identified. And then, of course, with Germany, we had a successful closing session of the year-long celebration of the German South Africa Year of Science. Last week, when we met with the Swiss Federal Council, he was very keen to know more about the ambassador of Switzerland was keen to see whether we cannot have something similar with them because of the successful collaboration we've had with the Swiss institutions. So on the funding side, on the money that is raised by our ICR, we think we will not have a problem. We are on target with that. And then in terms of the number of postgraduate students that access a number of international structures, we think we are also on course. Under Human Capital and Knowledge Systems, the minister launched the Indigenous Knowledge System via Prospecting and Product Development Consortium. And this consortium comprises of 16 organizations ranging from IKS, communities of practice and organizations, Science Council, University Cooperatives and Community-Based Trusts. And the consortium is made up of three flagship programs: African traditional medicines, nutraceuticals, in other words, food-related natural products, and of course, cosmeceuticals. The successful launch of the national record system, as I mentioned earlier on, was conducted by the minister on the 24th of May in the Northwest, and we think that that national record system marks a milestone towards the protection, promotion, development and management of indigenous knowledge systems in the country. And the event showcased how the national record system is implemented in communities that are owners of IKA. And then the event was carried on a number of important radio stations and on ETV. We also think that we are on target on a number of initiatives in this area of human capital, on a number of graduates and interns that are placed in DST-funded work. We are on course. Research infrastructure grants we have approved. Now the infrastructure funding allocations and the NRF will be rolling this out. And the number of research grants that are awarded, we think we are on track. On the rollout of the SANREN, we think, again, we should be in a position to reach the target of the megabits per second average bandwidth capacity by March. And in terms of the indigenous knowledge-based technological innovations developed and registered as intellectual property, we think we are also on course as far as that's concerned. And I think we've already talked about the, maybe we haven't, that we are having meetings and site visits to identify hosts for the national record system here in the Western Cape. We will be getting a sense of the numbers of people who participated in the Science and Technology Week. We awarded grants to 56 organizations, and they will be giving us the information. So maybe when we come and report second quarter, we should be having a sense of how many of these, how many people participated. We were supposed to approve 6 strategy documents on this area, and we've already approved 2 on Paleo Sciences and National Bioprospecting Platform, as I have indicated. On Program 5, amendments to Section 11D of the Income Tax Act that became effective last year require companies to apply for their R&D projects to be approved in order to qualify for tax deductions under these tax incentives. We have received 384 applications between 1st of October and 30th of June 2013. We have to say that we were inundated with the increase in the number of applications as a result of the amendments of Section 11D. However, we are trying to go through the backlog very, very slowly, but we hope that by November this year we'll have caught up in terms of approving those applications for companies that qualify for the tax deductions. There are 2 policy briefs that I think were jointly developed by CSIR, HSRC and the DST. We think that's going well. So again, just putting some of this information in the table, got a one target for providing livelihood opportunities. We are on course. The number of students that are supported in this program, we think, in fact, we have achieved the target. Number of papers, maybe it's too early, but we are not panicking yet. We know that work is happening. Number of interns that are funded and co-funded in design niche areas, again, we think we're doing okay. Small medium enterprises that are receiving support from the technology stations, we're not worried. Companies registered be provided with assistance for the technology assistance package, we think we're fine. And then knowledge and innovation products and transfer package, we're monitoring the signed contracts. We think there's no need to worry at this point. So I did indicate, Chair, at the beginning that there are some challenges that we have already identified in some of these targets, and here I am just indicating some of the delays or the reasons for the variance. On the investments commercialized through the technology agency, we are working with the agency on trying to increase the turnaround times for the decisions for the ideas that are being funded through TIA. The guidelines that are drafted by the NIPMO, the development, the incentive scheme guidelines is currently being drafted, and we hope that in the next 2 weeks of the second quarter we'll be ready for this. And as you know, that the challenges here is people would like to know on what basis do they get the first one was IP ownership, and when do you refer things to NIPMO, for IP to NIPMO, in instances where the organizations are not able to commercialize those ideas. So people are looking for certainty on this. Technology products that were developed through TIA investments, there were delays in signing of the deals to achieve in this quarter. Again, we are working with the Technology Innovation Agency to fast-track these. We have started discussions with the Department of Environmental Affairs in order to ensure that we start the process of drafting the Marine Biology Research Strategy, which has been hanging for some time. As I've said, we are trying to put a lot of capacity to make sure that we deal with the current backlog in the evaluation of the applications for the R&D tax incentives. And then I also indicated earlier on that the work that the department is doing in support of the outcomes of government, we will share that with you. So here we share with you the work that together with the MRC now we're doing on HIV and AIDS. You are aware of the confirmation of the 1% turnoff of a gel microbicide to prevent HIV transmission in women, the discovery of a potential HIV vaccine and the development of diagnostic to detect drug resistance. We also support through the initiative called SATRI, drug discovery and development of the TB diagnostic. We support the malaria work through the development of new treatments and diagnostics as well as vector control technologies. On outcome two, we are working with the Department of Health and Trade and Industry to try and ensure that we have enough manufacturing capacity at BioVec. Discussions are, I think, at an advanced stage around how we even deal with the shareholding within BioVec between the three departments. We are also funding the development and commercialization of telemedicine workstation in Eastern Cape, Free State, and Northwest. Outcome four, we have drafted an R&D expenditure and the funding strategy for increasing investments in research and development. We will be together with the employment sectors and economic sectors and employment cluster, together with National Treasury, we'll be trying to finalize this strategy. We are just waiting for a meeting between our minister and the Minister of Finance around how we can increase, therefore, investments in research and development. We support SDST key partner departments through a number of initiatives in interdepartmental task teams for biocomposites, advanced metal initiative and the post-harvest innovation in aquaculture. And then we also support a portfolio consisting of a minimum of 8 large long-term R&D-led industrial development opportunities. And We've given example of the areas where we are trying to work with other government departments in making sure that we contribute to the economic to the transformation of the economy through these initiatives. We facilitate minimum increase of 10% annually in the number of small medium enterprises hopefully receiving technology support through the Technology Station program. So we hope that we are able to sustain the performance of these small medium enterprises, and then we continue to ensure that we provide as much incentives as possible for the companies that would benefit from this scheme. On the number of skilled and capable workforce, we will increase the proportion of students that we provide financial support to at bachelor's level and honors degree from 2.5% to 5.5% by 2014. Same with master's students from 6 to 10 and the DST from 14 to 18%. And we think this is our contribution to outcome 5. And this is just a table to indicate how we will then be increasing the support. On outcome 7, we provide a number of pilot projects in the production of indigenous finfish and shellfish, and we look at novel food, medicinal and cosmetic plant production from a short list of indigenous and industrial crops. We also, at this point in time, and this was triggered by a question that was asked by one of the members here, Honorable Smith, to say, when do we take these pilot projects into their full implementation? So we are doing two case studies at the moment of the credibility and usefulness of these community enterprise development models in the areas that we've been working with, to try and get a sense of how can we then roll them out in more than just the sites where the pilots have been conducted. We also are doing feasibility into the use of South African developed technology that can convert waste to fuel in rural areas. This is a project I learned about yesterday when I was at the University of Fort Hare. Apparently it's quite a successful, it's promising. We are also in the process of finalizing the rollout of the South African Risk and Vulnerability Atlas, where we try and provide up-to-date spatial information related to environmental risks and vulnerability, which is used by local municipalities for their own planning going into the future. So on the financial side, as you know, this is the structure of the budget of the Department of Science and Technology. This is the classification by economic classification, so you can again see that almost 93% of our budget goes to the entities that report to the department. We only use a very tiny portion for running the department, and we always think it's a good thing. And out of a planned budget of 24%, which we had set out to spend by the first quarter, we were out by about 3.9%. We only achieved 23.2%, but we are not worried about this because in the second quarter, there have been huge improvements. So this is the expenditure by each of the programs, and then you can see the deviation on the asked cash flow, but you can see that the actual spending is at least just under a quarter of what we hope to spend for the year. This is just cash flow that we submit to our finance and treasury, and slight deviation, but I think, as I've said, things have picked up a little bit. So in conclusion, Chair, we think that currently 56 of our targets are on course. Human capital development, knowledge generation and exploitation infrastructure in Africa collaboration will remain key focus areas of the work that we do. And we hope, as I've said a number of times, to this year achieve a minimum of 80% of the targets that we had set out at the beginning. Thank you very much, and the experts are here to answer all the questions.
Thank you very much, And look, I know reopen your financials. There's something that I thought. Yeah. No, not the one before. The one before that. Yeah. What did you say here about 3% or something?
As you can see, the big green pie chart says that 92.6% of the budget is transferred to the entities of this project.
So in other words, what we're saying that when you vote the money to the ministry, we transfer almost 93% to the CSIR, to ASAF, to NECI, and all the other entities. We only use about just under 7% for the department, just to run the department. We think this is a good norm, and we are trying to be prudent in making sure the money is used for science rather than for running a big department. Thank you.
What is the total number of employees in the department?
About 450.
And I'm sitting on the 15.
15.
You mustn't say that you're doing
very well. Okay. Okay. Thanks. What percentage of their budget, though, do they use? Do you know?
I'm sure they use even less than that.
Verify that.
Okay. Thank you very much, DJ, for the presentation. I will not comment whether the presentation was good or not. It depends on what the members say. So I give it to members. I see the hand of Honorable Dunja. Honorable Machumi. I nearly said, you see, they came quickly, the nice name, Honorable Poppy. Because you also want, did I see a hand? Okay. In that order for now. Then, lastly, Honorable Dr. Lawrence.
Thank you. I want to say no, thank you. I think it was quite an empowering report. As time goes by, it's becoming reader friendly, and which I think we must one must commend the department for that, because when the report is too challenged with academics, they write the report for themselves at times and pitch it up at the level of the, but it does not mean that we don't understand what we are dealing with, but at least it is making it friendly for us, as you know that we also deal with constituent with communities, and this is quite commendable. I've got a slide number 21. It's relatively a comment for me now is that we hope that everything in terms of the tender is going to be done, what do they say, above board, that the terminology chair that is being used. Because we hope that Chairperson, we won't have everybody throwing toys on the issue of this tender, which we are confident, given the track record of the Department of Science and Technology, that it will be handled in that manner. On slide 24, you said some of the institutions. Is it possible to name these institutions where you say you have the Fundisa disk containing data and it's being provided to interested academic institutions, which are those? Because it, remember that, as I've said initially, we are looking, our constituencies are located in some of these these institutions are located around on, in our constituency offices. The last two, telemedicine. In where in the Eastern Cape are you having this the telemedicine? And how confident are you that it is not going to, maybe it's not the first question, it's not going to collapse? I'm raising this because it's not the first time that telemedicine has been installed, that project, in the Eastern Cape. I can't remember the year, but I'm aware that at the time that even KZN, that project was installed, it was said that in the Eastern Cape it collapsed. I can see that now you are bringing it back, which is something that is very commendable. The last slide, which is number 49. The project that is in the Eastern Cape, the project that you said you visited at Forte. What is the is there the involvement or the role of the economic affairs in the Eastern Cape? Remember that as much as we don't have science and technology at a level, and therefore projects of this nature, there always is. So one would want to have an interest. What is then the role of the Eastern Cape Department of Economic Affairs on that? Those will be the only questions on my side. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. My clarity seeking question is on slide number 15. If I had, and pardon me if maybe I misheard Dr. Mjog, that pie chart, if I had Dr. Well, he said they are not sure whether they will be able to reach the 2% target set. And if that's what I had, I would appreciate if we can be provided with reasons why does the department feel that they won't be able to reach the set target. Why are they being so pessimistic? Why not so, but why are they being pessimistic? The other question goes to slide number 18. I just want to also clarify the second question. Maybe it's because I couldn't, maybe it's somewhere in the slide, but I missed it. What is the current vacancy rate in the department? Okay, you intend reaching achieving the 8% target, but what is the current a vacancy rate? My last question quickly. I think from slides 33 to 35, for the first quarter, there are some where the targets are not being set. What I'd like to find out is why were targets not set or being set for the first quarter? Maybe moving from the premise that, it's not a new beginning. It's a carryover of the previous financial year. Why were then targets not set for the first quarter? Because there were some, I believe, the previous financial year there were targets which were reached, or some not reached, which have then have to be part of the first quarter planning. So that's what I want to find out, to be clarified on. Thanks, Chairperson and everybody.
Chair, honourable members, and DG and the team. Good morning again. First of all, Chair, just to lay foundation for your commendatory remarks, perhaps at an appropriate time, I want to thank the department for this presentation. And first of all, therefore, Chair, just for clarity, I see on slide number 15 that the department is saying in that red, small red, there's almost a certainty that they will not be able to achieve a target. In all this presentation, Chair, I have not read one thing suggesting that the department is not going to reach any target or anything. All what is said is that it's on course, almost all. Perhaps I've missed one slide. I would like clarity in respect of what, because they are now sure that they will not achieve the target. I would like them to really clarify me on that. That's number one. Number two, Chair. On indigenous knowledge systems, in slide 23, the second, say, bullet point or second paragraph there. Three indigenous knowledge-based technological innovation developed and registered as intellectual property by 31st March next year. My question there is, developed by whom and for whom? In other words, the recipients of these indigenous knowledge, who will they be? Then the third one, Chair, for the last 53 expenditure by program, I see on international cooperation and resources, the expenditure plan is negative 8.3%. And in human capital and knowledge system is negative 12.2%. Why is that? Are we, do I read correctly that we are now budgeting for a deficit or what? So that I would like to clarify. And lastly, Chair, in terms of the performance at this time last year, the department had achieved 10 of its 66 targets, and only 16 targets, and there are 18 this year, that needed intervention. And how is the department therefore planning to achieve the minimum of 80%, as Dr. Dwacha correctly pointed out, considering that last year only 72% of the targets were achieved at the end of the financial year? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chopper.
I do have a few questions, but the most important one is the last one, so I'll quickly touch on a few page 14 or slide 14 of the reporting. Mine is on itself. You said a minimum of 80%. How do you determine it? Why 8? Why not 9? And what are the challenges and the problems that are making the department from reaching a minimum? And then the other point of the file, we refer to as moderate risk. What is a moderate risk? Oh, sorry.
And why the 8%, why don't you have anything to report on the 8%? It might be very obvious, the answer.
And then, yes, on the vacancy rate, my colleague also referred to the vacancy rate. I think it's very high. 8% is nearly 10%. It's a tenth. On how many posts are we talking about here, and on which levels? Then something on the meerkat on page 25, slide 25. Designed, the meerkat antenna designed and installed. Is that now the first one of 64? Is that possible then? Because the tender is out for the development of the first one, which is the one first of 64. When does the tender close? Are there obviously there are international companies, and how strong is South Africa and our companies and our competence? Because I'm well aware of the fact, am I correct, that the seven cut dishes were developed and designed and built by us, and do we have the competency or the skills? I think so. Just a short question on 28. You referred to the French and the Flemish universities. Why specifically them? And then on another document that I have provided to us by our researchers, a short question. What was the unallocated 18.4 million transferred to higher education institutions for? And my last question is on slide 40. The bottom part of the slide, you said you used the word hanging. The strategy or the draft marine biology research strategy is hanging for some time. Why? And then part of the rest of this focus on the draft marine biology research strategy referred to an agreement between the DST and DEA, and also you referred to Arctic research. And now my question is, and I'm going to submit questions this week on SA Agulhas 2. What happened? We bought this very expensive ship at a price of $1.3 billion. It's lying in the harbour for 60% of the time since it was bought, or a little bit more than a year, a few months more. What happened exactly? What is the problem? The universities are very concerned, specifically UCT. The researchers can't go out on the ship. They have many problems, and as I said, I will submit. It's in the pipeline. It's already formulated, but you'll receive it in due course. Thank you.
Sorry, I've forgotten that, Chairman. We will then hand over to the department to respond. The DG did say that very clever people will then respond to our questions. Now is the time for the department to do that. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Duna. So I'm going to warn the colleagues which questions they need to, in my view, respond to. The comment on the tender being above board, maybe Thomas can report on that, including, I think, the question that Honorable Globus Lawrence is asking. In fact, we've moved beyond just the issuing of the tender. I think the tender has been awarded, and I think we can give you the details on the companies that won the tender and the rollout of the meerkat dishes. I think Thomas should have all the details around that. We may not have all the answers of which universities, higher education institutions are getting the Fundisa disc. But yesterday I was at Forte, and Forte, for instance, is one of the recipients of this disc. My sense is that the Space Agency actually distributes to all universities that have got either Geographic Information Systems Department or those that have aspirations of working with this data to train students. But we can get detailed information for you, and we can provide that to you. Tulani will give the details of the telemedicine workshop in the Eastern Cape and where it is exactly. The project at the University of Fort Hare,
and where it is, I can quickly give you an update, because one of the thing that I think the project is funded under EU fund that we are managing in the department. So the University of Fort Hare then says it's been working with the local farming community that are producing agricultural products. And one of the challenges that they had in engaging with these farming projects was that they were worried that sometimes they don't know what to do with the waste or if they produce excess food. And in cases where there is waste, then they feed this into this system where they digest and try and use waste. I think it's essentially producing methane and then using methane to produce energy. One of the things that we asked, in fact, the university yesterday, as I said, because I was there, was that there are a number of projects at the University of Fort Hare that I think require an engagement with the provincial government as well as the MEC, Jonas, because the partnership for hosting the global forum on entrepreneurship that we have, we were doing it in conjunction with the Eastern Cape, and we've been developing with them a provincial innovation system. And therefore, we were wondering whether they are aware of these three initiatives at the University of Fort Hare. The first one being this project of converting waste and using waste to produce energy, as one. The second one is the Risk and Vulnerability Atlas. They have a center at the University of Fort Hare, which we set up. The purpose of this center is working with the Department of GIS to use satellite-based information and other data sources to provide information to local authorities within Fort Hare and in the Eastern Cape about climate change areas that would be affected, where interventions, early signals can be provided to these local authorities. So this work has been done, and we agreed with them that what we will do is they will give us an update on these two projects and others that have a need for the provincial structure or departments or municipalities to take over. We will then have a conversation with the MEC Jonas around strengthening and them being aware that here is something as part of the provincial innovation system that we've been developing that could benefit the province. So the short answer therefore to your question is maybe not at this point in time, but we agreed yesterday that we will pursue this so that we can have, in fact, after the global forum, they requested that we continue to work with them. So this would be a good time to say this is something that we need to take forward jointly together. The 2% that we will not achieve, Honorable Mujumi, is actually one project. Again, Dr. Thomas Afdehaider can talk about it. It is this project of developing the marine biology strategy. And I think later on, together with the response to Honorable Lopez Lawrence around where are we on this strategy and therefore the implications it has on the partnership with the Department of Environmental Affairs on the Akala. So I think we'll probably give you the details of that. Tulani can give you the details to the answer of the vacancy rate that you've asked. And then Honorable Nunkwenyane, again, I think the 2% is one target, and Thomas will talk about that. Thomas, you should be also familiar with the issues of the IKS. I can give maybe a high-level response. At this point in time, I think there are a couple of products that have been developed through the IKS program. The one product is a anti-balding product. So for those of us who are losing hair, they said this product can help in restoring the hair, and for those where the hair is moving back, they can bring it back to the front. I think this product is being commercialized at the moment, and I do know that they have developed a benefit sharing agreement. I'm not sure the details of which community, but I think this has been done. The second product is a product on skin evening toning facility. product, and then I think the third one is on nutraceuticals, on the food supplement. I'm not sure what type of tea or what type, but Thomas can probably give the details of this. And again, the benefit sharing on all of these have been well defined as to when it's commercialized, when the revenues come, who gets what. So we can give you those details. The reason why I see somebody's controlling my machine. Can we go back? Yeah, okay. I just wanted to respond to your... I think it's slide 53. These two numbers, as you can see very, very carefully, we've got two columns there. One is the planned expenditure and the actual expenditure. So this is just a deviation. So as you can see, the planned expenditure was supposed to be 17.2% if you don't look at the numbers. And they've actually spent 19.3%. So in other words, in this quarter, they've spent more than what they had planned for. So this would be reflected as a percentage. It doesn't mean that I will leave Nombuyiselo and Didier to talk about it. It's an over expenditure, yes?
Yeah.
For the quarter. So in other words, they've spend more money, but I don't think it impacts at the end of the year. But in terms of what they had planned for and what they have spent, that's what it means. So the same with the ICR, as you can see, they were supposed to have 20.4% spend. They've spent 22 more than 2% more. But I think the finance people can, they always get angry with me to say I've not represented them correctly. The 80%. The 80% is a number that the Auditor General says if you have achieved 80% in their eyes, you've at least, I suppose they're saying that's the minimum that they can live with, and they feel that you've done your job if you've if you've achieved 80%. There's no harm in achieving more, and we will strive to achieve more. In fact, when we come and present the annual report, one of the ways in which auditors work is that things that are partially achieved, they don't consider them as achieved. And in fact, in certain instances, minimum is 80, but you probably have other things that are partially achieved that will take you to even 90%, but they will not. So we are not hoping to achieve a minimum of 80, but in order to meet their minimum requirements, 80 is the minimum, but of course we strive to do everything that we said we will do. Now, the question was, are we this year going to achieve 80% more than 72, and why do we think we're going to? May I ask Tulani and his team to respond to this so that he also feels he was here for a reason? Slide 15, I think, is the same thing with Klopas Lawrence. Why 80%? Vacancy rate 8% being high, why? Meerkat, Thomas will talk about that. Thomas, are you familiar with the French and the Flemish universities in this development of skills for the high end? I don't remember the whole history, but I know that the team has come back. We may probably have to come back to you, Klopas Lawrence, on that one. And then, will you be able to talk about the unallocated funds to the universities that were not spent? I think that was... I think, is this on the first quarter report, or is this on the... It's usually the funds that go to VITS and all these universities, not necessarily... We may have to do that, but what I do know is that there are a number of research projects that we do with universities which gets transferred to universities once we have finalized their business plan. So in the first quarter, we may not have transferred those funds because we haven't finalized the business plans. But I do know, for instance, that we are doing some work with VETS University on a project in the public awareness and they're supporting us in this. So those are those, it's those funds that are classified under that. But if we have specific things that you'd like to know about that, we can track them for you. And Chair, we can just write and respond to that. And then the next one is the draft marine and biology. So maybe with your permission, Chair, let's ask Thomas on the marine, and then Tulani on the vacancy rate and the certainty or not certainty of, and the 80% and targets, and then the telemedicine workshop, and if finance wants to add anything on the underspending for the quarter, they're free to do that. Thomas?
Yes, thank you.
But I thought that he would ask by clarifying the things that you wanted him to clarify, which was on, I think, nutraceuticals and cosmeceuticals.
Thank you, DG, Chair, and Honourable Members. Let me start off with the question of the Antarctic research strategy and the marine research strategy, which has been raised by two of the Honourable Members, and which is related also to this question of whether we will achieve certain targets or not. We had set ourselves the targets of the target to finalize strategies for marine and Antarctic research in the current financial year. These were targets that we set ourselves a long time ago when we had to submit the annual plan for the department. We had realized last year that our research interests in the Southern Ocean and the Antarctic area are very closely related to the research interests of the Department of Environment Affairs in the same area. They have a branch or a program in terms of our usage called Oceans and Coasts, which undertakes the research that the Department of Environment Affairs requires in the Southern Oceans and Antarctic region. And you realize that there wouldn't be any purpose in us developing a research strategy for that research complex while the Department of Environment Affairs develops its own research strategy for that complex. Rather have one national research strategy that covers both environment affairs interests and needs, as well as those of the Department of Science and Technology, or rather of our research community and constituency in this area. So we had reached agreement with the department to develop these strategies jointly. We'd also reached agreement that it would be useful to develop an overarching concept for Southern Oceans, Antarctic, and marine research, and then perhaps more detailed plans for Antarctic, Southern Oceans, and marine, because these are different areas from a research perspective. So these were agreements that we had reached last year, and that's what informed us then in setting targets for this year for the development of these plans. Now, the progress that we had made during the first quarter in this regard suggested to us that we may not reach the target with regard to the Antarctic part of this strategy, but we may well still manage it with the marine. So on the marine side, I think we set a moderate risk, and on the Antarctic, we felt in the first quarter at that point, we were fairly certain that we probably wouldn't be able to finalize all of that work in this year. An important part of the reason is that the Oceans and Coasts colleagues, who are key to this joint work, spend much time on research trips and activities in the Agalas, on the Agalas boat, going down to the Southern Oceans and the Antarctic. And some of the colleagues who are key to this work were away for 3 or 4 months during this period, were unavailable in terms of us making progress. So the progress in developing the strategy jointly has not been quite what we had anticipated when we projected these targets. But we have, since the first quarter was finished at the end of June, we have made progress in this regard. We have consulted with the National Research Foundation, who are a key partner in developing these strategies as well. I am now more hopeful
about us making the kind of progress that we were hoping to make during this year in developing these strategies. Remember, Honourable Chair and members, that the assessment there that we put there, certainty, was the assessment on the in June. Things sometimes change. At that time, I was not certain we would be able to manage it. I'm now more hopeful. So it could be that when we make our second quarter report, that this particular our assessment at that point on this particular matter might change a bit. I need to still consult with the DG on this when we finalize the report. So remember that these assessments are made at that time and things do change. So, Chair, on the Antarctic and the marine strategy, that's our response. We look forward to your written questions, Honourable Clovis Lawrence, in regard to the Agalas, and we will answer them as much as we're able to, of course, bearing in mind that the boat is not part of the department's portfolio. It's part of the Department of Environment, belongs to the Department of Environment Affairs. In fact, Oceans and Coasts are the legal owners of this, so we have a partnership with them that is intended to secure access for the South African research community to the boat. But we look forward to your questions. Only once we have them will we be able to know what they are and then provide answers. With regard to the questions on IKS, frankly, DG, you have pretty much covered it. I have asked my colleagues for the details of the exact communities that are benefiting from these IKS agreements that you refer to, but I've not received a response yet, so I'm afraid I don't know exactly. I think they are in the northwest and in Limpopo, and I think there's a third province, but I can't remember right now, of course, where they are. We will provide that information. I think when we briefed you on IKS last year, we did provide that information, but we'll provide it again. I'm afraid I just cannot remember right now what the communities are. But the DG, I think, covered it already. There were these two examples of products and then the nutraceuticals. Those are the ones. And indeed, we have funded the establishment of pilot manufacturing facilities around these products through partnerships between the University of Pretoria and the community that is involved in, I think, the nutraceuticals, I think, is being rolled out through the University of Pretoria, and the partnership, a formally established partnership with the local community where there are formal benefit-sharing agreements. And the University of Witwatersrand is involved in the other one of these pilot manufacturing facilities, also with a formally structured relationship with the community that will be benefiting from these interventions. Let me just see. On the Meerkat tender, there were questions about this. As you all know, honourable members, the National Research Foundation is managing this, and Dr. Fanaroff, when he briefed you on the SKA project a couple of weeks ago, he addressed this as well, and he gave you more details about the process of rolling out the tenders. The tenders have been awarded now. And the tenders were awarded to a consortium, a joint partnership between a German company called GD Satcom, and the South African partner in this is Stratosat, if I remember correctly. Those are the names of the partners in this joint venture that have been awarded the 64, I think, dishes for Meerkat. And the first one of which will be delivered, I think, in December this year and hopefully be up and running by February. I think it's one of the indicators for us as well, is that it should be up and running by February, if I remember correctly.
Sorry.
Yes.
In terms of localization policy, what are the percentages between Germany and South Africa?
Chair, I think it's 70%, I think it's a very high percentage, much higher than the guidelines that generally exist for this. I remember this was something that Dr. Fanaroff was very proud of. I think he may have mentioned the percentage when he briefed the committee, didn't he? I think it's a very high percentage. I think it's, yes, I think there's a very high percentage. I speak under correction here, but I know it's higher than the normal expectation and guidelines in this regard.
I think it's better not to guess. It's better when you go back to your suppliers with that information, because it's very crucial.
Thank you. We shall certainly do so, Chair. Yeah. So this one we will. DG, there was one additional one I thought I could perhaps just briefly comment on. There were a few questions, I think, by Honourable Dunjwa about the involvement of provincial governments in some of our initiatives. You mentioned the telemedicine one, for example, and I think one or two others perhaps in the Eastern Cape. I can't talk to the telemedicine one, but what I can certainly talk to is the one that we mentioned to the honourable members previously, which is the establishment of the Science Centre in Klofimbaba. There is, in fact, a very strong partnership around this with the Eastern Cape Department of Education, as well as the National Department of Basic Education, specifically around this one, and I am quite certain that similar provincial partnerships exist around some of the other initiatives that are being rolled out around Klofimbaba. But on this one, I know for a fact we're in fact hoping to sign a formal memorandum of agreement with the Eastern Cape Department of Education and the DBE on this particular one. So we are very mindful of the fact, honourable members, that to ensure the sustainability of these sort of demonstration projects that we establish, that the regional governments are necessary partners in ensuring the sustainable futures of these sorts of initiatives. Okay, I've just received a message. It is apparently 75% South African content in the Meerkat tender. Thank you, Chair.
Thomas, there was another question by Honourable Matumi on a number of targets which were not going to be reported. There was no target for the first quarter. Would you like to comment on that? They were mainly in your program.
Sure, I'll do that. I think it applies to probably to all of the programs, but let me give a specific example. One of the targets, Honourable Matumi, that you pointed out to was, I think, the number of students who receive bursaries through the National Research Foundation. I use this as an example. The students are awarded bursaries only at certain times of the year, and the NRF only does a census of how many bursaries have been awarded at certain times of the year, and they don't in the first quarter. The administrative processes require them to do this at other times of the year. So there are certain types of targets that we have set ourselves, and indicators that we've set ourselves, where the census is simply not taken because there's no point and there's no ability to take it during a particular time. And in some cases, I could look for examples. There are no meaningful quarterly targets that can be set, because you don't know exactly what's going to happen in order to achieve that final target. There's something the colleagues have just indicated, that the graduation, for example, affects that, because the measure might be about graduated students or something, and if they haven't graduated in the first quarter, there's no target that you can set. So it depends on the particular indicators, but sometimes it's not just not... There are no targets that can be set for these sorts of reasons.
In certain instances, through you, Chair, it's an initiative which we're doing for the first time, and therefore we don't want to set ourselves a target which we don't know. You know, from, for instance, these patents that we're talking about on the IKS program, the filing of a patent can happen any time in the year. So setting a quarter target, which doesn't make sense because you then have to report on it, but really we could end up coming here and say, well, nothing to report. And therefore, those are the ones that I think, in just coming back to Honorable Nkonyane's question, this is exactly then why we have in my pie chart those that are moderate risks, because we don't know for sure, but we have to just monitor them very, very tightly in partnership with the universities and other public entities. Tulan, on vacancy rates and... I think there was also Well, I don't know because I went to the toilet for some time, but I know that Honorable Muchum was keen on what we saw when we went to Oversight in Eastern Cape about the employment of disabled people. Did you put that across?
I did identify
No, thanks, Honourable Chair. Just on the issue of the telemedicine workstations, currently also in the Eastern Cape, in Kofimvaba, what's happening there is that the department is working in terms of developing these workstations, and MTN obviously has partnered with the department in terms of rolling out some of these workstations in the public health facilities. So I think that's basically what we're doing. On the issue of the vacancy rate, I've just have a slide has led that this question was asked because on Monday I presented to EXCO. Where we are in terms of our vacancy range. We've got about 49 positions that are vacant. Hence, I think we've got currently a 10% vacancy rate. In June, it was 8%, but because of sometimes you have resignations, there's also a creation of new positions in different programs. I could just fly through some of those. There are certain positions that have already been advertised. Some of them interviews have been finalized. So there are various activities per post in the organization. So I think by the time we come back in the next quarter, the picture would have changed. Why 8%? I think when we look at the total number of positions in this regard, we have 475, which is the total number of positions that have been created that we have in our staffing establishment. We have the view that I think 8% is a reasonable number because it's talking about 40 positions or so, that is obviously represent 8% of the vacancy rate, just to cater for the turnover, because we do have a turnover. Our workforce is young, and therefore we also have a lot of people who are moving because either they are giving up opportunities somewhere else. I think we have been really training. Well, it's not better, but I think what as I've indicated, young people are always ambitious, looking for positions. So in other areas, because for example in the DST we have obviously limited positions. We can't have everybody going up the ladder. It's only when you're vacant that people have promotional opportunities. So where in instances where individuals feel that I think they've reached a ceiling in the organization, or they want to go to other opportunities, they will definitely take those positions. But also, I think we are mainly, our people mainly moving up in the public service, meaning that we are training them very well for the public service. But I think really that turnover creates an opportunity for growth internally. So 8%, as I said, that's what the number that EXCO decided on. There's nothing wrong that for us to reach 100%. We do wish that we could do that, but I think the material conditions does not guarantee that we could reach 100% because really of the issue of the turnover.
Which means strategically, then you must develop a model of recycling. And you must know that this is a dynamic model, and you must scientifically establish it. It mustn't be a two chance thing. It must be something that has been worked out scientifically, that in this environment, people come and go. It's dialectical. Mm-hmm. You see.
Yes, I was just going to finish the last part. On vacancies, I'm finished. I'm just moving to the issue of the 80%.
Level,
because you refer to younger people. Yeah. What about your top level? What is the vacancy rate look now? At the top level, it's EXCO level. It's very small, actually, in that regard. Currently, at EXCO, for example, we've got one vacant position, which the process of filling the position is almost at an advanced stage. So we really more stable at that particular level. Yes. guideline as it is. Then the other issue relating to achieving the 80% of our target, again, one of the important things that we emphasize on is the planning process to ensure that the kind of indicators that we have as a department are smart indicators, meaning that they're specific, they're measurable, they're achievable, and they're time-bound, and that there are resources allocated to those. So in this regard, that is why we're ensuring that we monitor on a quarterly basis very tightly those indicators that are showing signs that they might not be what we call achieved. So I think the planning process, that's why we emphasize on to say the kind of indicators that colleagues or programs choose to include in the annual performance plans, it should be those indicators that actually they are 100% sure that there are resources allocated to that and that there is staff sufficient to execute that work. And so forth. So those are the kind of things that we put in place to ensure that we achieve our indicators. We are hopeful that we'll be able to actually exceed our targets in this current financial year, looking, for example, at the performance that we have just reported in terms of those that are on course and those that are at moderate risk. But as I said, those that are at moderate risk, we are putting remedial actions in the second quarter to ensure that when we come back in the third quarter, you know, we're quite okay with that. I've got my colleagues who are responsible for the M&E MDG. Maybe they might want to say one or two things in relation to that part specifically.
Thank you, Chair. I think CEO has said a lot, but just to add that for this quarter, because I was very much interested in the comparison that the Honourable Member made of the quarter one from last year and quarter one of this year. What has happened this year is that for the first time the department was introduced program one indicators in the APP, which we have never had before. And if you look at the nature of those indicators, there are more compliance indicators, which means that, for example, you would have a target that says a report would be submitted in September, which obviously says you will not have a quarter one target, but only quarter two target. And if you look at that, it also almost consider almost about 23% of those that were not on course for this particular quarter. So you see that drop from last quarter of 2012-13 to this one is simply because of that. But if you look at the real numbers of the indicators that are not on course this year, they're not much different from that of last year. Thank you.
Well, I'm not very sure about that. I had a meeting last week with the Auditor General, and I've got the reports for each and every entity, just like I had last year. You remember last year I had them. I now have them. It's just that I can't remember which entity has deteriorated this year from last year's records, especially on performance. But I have the records, so until I look at my record, I will not believe anything you say by mouth.
Thomas, after I wanted to add one quick response.
Well, yes, thank you. Not on this issue, but on the question that Nkosi had asked about the communities. I've received the information. Communities in Mamelodi, Attridgeville, Limpopo, and Genadenberg. This is the information I've received on the government.
Thank you, Chair. Just as a matter of interest, on the plants and cosmetic, you said communities are also involved in those areas. Maybe after the meeting, when I will then get a response from the department, I'll be interested of which are those communities, and is there any monitoring mechanism? I'll tell you why is that people that are really to benefit at times, their limitations will be resources. And it will only be those that have got resources. So that's why the question on which communities are you referring to? Well, we are interested in those with the facial ones, because we really want to age with grace. The last one is you make emphasis on the Department of Education with Ofimbaba,
science center, that is. But you don't make any emphasis with the Department of Education, with the one that is in Nelson Mandela district, and then, yeah, in terms of the university. Is there any, have you monitored that? I'm raising this question because of the I'm coming from that province, from that district in particular, and that science center is in a district that is partly under my constituency, but because of the nature of the Department of Education in the Eastern Cape, one would have really want to have an interest of how involved are they in that other side of the province.
You're referring to the one that is supported by VW at Newton Hague. I think the idea of we've now signed an agreement with the Department of Basic Education that in the science centers, the department, the provincial departments of education must get involved. So I think there are ongoing discussions on this, but I don't think you're right. The support, for instance, for the one in Newton Hague is at the same level as the one that is in Kofimvaba. So this is something that I think needs to be raised. I visited that center last year. VW was also concerned of the presence of the provincial education. So I do think that we need to follow up on that. Thanks, Chair. I think we've responded to all of them.
As I said, in the interest of time, we are almost, it's almost 12 o'clock now. We're left with about, according to my watch, 10 minutes before 12. And if there are no other pressing inputs you need from the department, I would ask the members that we release the department because we are waiting. There are children coming in now at 12. Whom we're expecting. So I would like the children to settle down here when they come in before the department has finished.
Now, Tulani is insisting that, with you, Chair, that there is a report that was published this morning by the Presidency on an instrument which has been introduced called MPET, Management Performance Assessment Tool. He's just got the information that there are five departments that are rated at the top. Science and Technology, Trade and Industry, National Treasury, Environmental Affairs, I can't remember, DMR. So we just thought we would share the news with the Portfolio Committee. Science and Technology is at the top.
Well, with that, I can assure that I'll not look at the Auditor General. Okay, thank you very much for the presentation. Otherwise, we will be indicting with you. We'll be around the institution next week. As you know, our oversight next week.